because you say, I'm rich. I have need of nothing. Man, I'm secure. I am self-satisfied. And Jesus says, you don't know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Happy Friday, and thank you so much for listening with us today. Pastor Bill continues his study of Revelation with the conclusion to the message, Laodicea, the Lukewarm Church. Now, here's Pastor.
When they discovered where the church of Laodicea, where it was, it is unbelievable. Do you know that that church was so rich, so large, it covered an entire city block, okay? And the flooring of the church was all hand-engraved marble. It was unbelievable. It was beautiful. Now, when you think about that, here is a church, and it's so self-sufficient. They said, we don't need a thing. We have the best choirs if we bring it up to our today. We have a 50-acre campus. We have millions of dollars in the bank. Every person in our congregation drives a Mercedes-Benz. Is that a good car? Somebody knows about it here? Do you understand what I'm saying? They were well-to-do. They probably wore fur coats, came in pearls. Have you ever been in a church like that? I'm not being critical of that. I have. I sat in the back row. I mean, Calvary people are not well-dressed, you know. No, I don't mean that. You guys are beautiful, so no. So anyway, so when you think about that, I mean, so this church said, we have a need of nothing. And Jesus, now listen, he is speaking to a man-ruled church, not a God-ruled church. He's speaking to a headless church. Jesus is the head of the church, and there's no head. It's the people. They run everything. They don't pray about it. They don't do any of those things. And Jesus, he says, listen, I'm not the Lord of this church. I'm going to tell you something. It is a horrible thing to be so deceived that you really believe that you are saved. You really believe you're a Christian, but you're not either one. You're not saved or you're not a Christian. That was the case at Laodicea, loved one. So what does Jesus do? Jesus does something now. I want you to notice the five adjectives that Jesus uses to describe their true spiritual condition. Listen, people can fool yourself, you can fool others, but you can never fool Jesus. Amen? Now look at their inner condition. Remember they said, oh, we have need of nothing, you know? Jesus said, oh yeah? Well, you're wretched. How would you like Jesus to say that about us? You're wretched, man. You're suffering in your mind and you don't even know it. You're afflicted. He says, not only that, you're miserable. You're full of misery. He said, matter of fact, you're worthy of pity. He says, now, and look at their outer condition. They said, remember, I am rich. Jesus said, no, you're poor. He said, you're poor. You're living like a bunch of poor, helpless beggars. You're just a church of beggars. You're living in abject poverty. You're not rich. Not only that, he says, you're blind. You don't know who you really are. You're blind to your true condition. He says, and not only that, you're naked. That word in Greek means absolutely naked. You are stark naked. You have no spiritual clothing. You have no garment of righteousness. You are dead in trespasses and sins. And I want you to catch now what happens. Look at the incredible grace and mercy and goodness and the long-suffering of our Lord. Look at this love. I want you to look now at verse 18, this perfect counsel to those who say, I have need of nothing, I'm rich. Watch what he does. He says, I counsel you to buy gold from me, refined in the fire, and here's the reason, that you may be what? Rich. Now, look, go back and look at it again. You see what Jesus said there? I counsel you. You know, I would have thought that Jesus would, that would have been an imperative in the Greek. An imperative is a command. But Jesus doesn't command them. It's not there at all. The word counsel means I'm giving you advice. And so he's giving them advice. Is Jesus the great counselor? Oh, man. So he's saying, listen, if you want to be rich, he says, I have priceless, unbelievable riches called salvation, true salvation. Now, listen, why would Jesus say gold? Everything Jesus does, there's a reason. You see, if you study the history of Laodicea, you will find out that they were the major banking center of that area of the world. They were so rich, and there were so many banks. And what do you think all those banks were full of? Gold. But Jesus said, all the gold, you're rich, you have need of nothing. All the gold that's in those banks, well, they can't buy what I can give you because you won't find the gold that I can give you in this world. But you can find the refined, beautiful gold, what gold really is, meaning salvation from me. So he says, buy it from me. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah 55:1, it says, ho, everyone, that's a universal invitation, if you will. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy, eat. Yes, come buy wine. That wine means eternal joy there. And milk without money and without price. In other words, you can have God's free gift of salvation, amen, when you believe in Christ. That's what he's saying there. And so look at verse 18, what Jesus does. He says you need to buy something else. Those white or bright, literally, garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. So what is Jesus saying here? Remember, you are stark naked, okay? Now, but Jesus knew exactly why he was saying that. There in Laodicea, they were world famous and still are for the glossy, luxurious, soft black wool. And it was unbelievable. It cost a fortune to even put that on. So you can see how well-dressed they are. And Jesus said, no, you're not dressed at all. You're not dressed. You don't need that black wool garment. What you need, it says, what did he say? The white or bright garments. What does that speak of? That's the imputed righteousness of our Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:21, where it says, God made him, meaning Jesus, sin, who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It means that when a person says, Jesus, be my Lord, God says, you are now justified, meaning just as if you had never sinned. And into your account, if you will, God the Father places the perfect, spotless record. He imputes it over into your account. And when God sees you, he sees you in Christ, in someone who has never sinned. Amen? Someone who always pleased the Father. That is every Christian's spiritual position, not practice. Man, that's why whenever the devil's after us, you know, we pick up that shield of faith and so forth and fight him. Now, so he says here, that's what you need. And then he does something else. It's incredible what our Lord does. He says, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. Now, here again, the Lord is just, boy, he's just getting right to them. See, Laodicea was famous for its medical school. And the school, their doctors were renowned. And I mean, there were hundreds of doctors, okay? And they literally developed, it's called the Phrygian powder, or tablet, from the soil and some of the dust and stuff from the mountains. And what they did, they created that, and it was shipped all over the Roman world. And what it did, you would grind it up, became a salve. You would take that salve, you'd put it into your eyes, and it would heal eye diseases. Isn't that amazing? So he knew exactly what he was doing. So what is Jesus saying? He's saying, you don't need those doctors. You don't need that eye salve. You need the great physician. You need me. If you come to me, I will open your eyes where you can see who you really are and see now you can be born again. That's what the Lord is saying right here. And look what he does in verse 19. This is a very, very important verse because Jesus says to them in this letter, as many as I what? That's a very important word. as many as I love, he says, number one, I rebuke. Number two, I chasten or discipline. Therefore, be zealous. That word means get on fire. Come to a boil, okay? I want you to be hot. He says, and then he says, repent. So there's two commands given. Now, if you really study this out, there are those that say, Bill, you know, these people, they're believers. They're just backslidden and so forth. Because Jesus said, as many as I love. And we know that does God discipline those he loves? Yes. Yes. But he didn't use the word agape there. And that's why this verse is so important. He did not use agape, which is the love of God. He used phileo. He says, Jesus says, as many as I am affectionate for. He didn't use agape. I rebuke and I chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. So Laodicea here is not a church. They're only a professing church. That's why Jesus used the word rebuke. The word rebuke means to be exposed or to convict. Jesus is wanting them, come on, you need to be saved. You need to come to me. Repent means a change of direction. The Bible says in Romans 2:4, it's the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance. His goodness, not dangling him over hell. It's his goodness. And he says, repent, change that direction. And Jesus said, if you'll do that, I'll give you a new beginning. 2 Corinthians 5:17, you can become a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things become new. Now listen carefully. This is Jesus' last message to the church who thought and who said they were Christians, but they were not. Well, it's so sad. Then he gives one of the greatest invitations in the Bible in the verse 20. Jesus says, behold. In other words, look. Look intently. See. Stop what you're doing and look. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, or continue to knock, okay? And look at this next word. If anyone, say that with me, anyone, anybody, no matter who they are, if anyone in that church, the pastor, anybody, the janitor, anybody, if anyone will just hear my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. That's talking about the new birth. That fellow, you can have fellowship with me now. You can have intimacy with now. We can feast together is what Jesus is saying. Now listen, I want you to see something about that verse. Jesus is not in that church. Jesus is outside of that church. Amen? He stands at the door. Now if he's standing at the door, that means he's pretty close. Amen? If he's knocking, it's pretty close. The Bible says in Luke 19:10 that Jesus said, I'm the Son of Man has come to seek and save those who are lost. Amen? And that's what he was doing right there. So this invitation from Jesus is to anyone, no matter who they are, who hears his voice and opens the door. Because that church, those people in that church, they were Christians only in name. They thought themselves saved, but they were not saved. And the only cure for a lukewarm apostate church is they have to hear his voice. They have to hear the knockings. They have to see their true spiritual condition. They have to open that door. They have to open the door. And Jesus said, I will come in. So this is Christ's last letter and last call to the last days church, the apostate church, then and of today in Laodicea. So Laodicea is the church of the excluded Christ. They're the apostate church. Now listen to me. They look like a church. They sing like a church. They believe that they are the church. They even talk like they're saved. But Jesus is not there in the church. And what is tragic, they don't even know it. He's not there at all. He's outside knocking. What love is that? Amen. He's outside knocking. And you know something? I'll tell you about the Lord. When you got saved, did he force you to get saved? No. No. Jesus doesn't force anyone. No, no. Remember the rich young ruler in Mark, 10, came to the Lord and fell down before the rich young ruler fell before the Lord and said, oh, Lord, good master, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus said, well, there's no, why do you call me good? There's only one good, and that is God. Meaning he was calling Jesus God and didn't know it. And he says, well, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus said, keep the commandments. Oh, I've kept all the commandments from my youth up. The Bible says Jesus looked at him. Then he slapped him. No. Jesus looked at him and loved him and looked at him and said, you know what? Thou lackest one thing. Isn't that amazing? You only lack one thing. That's it. One thing to have eternal life. What is it? Go sell everything that you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me. And what happened to the rich young ruler? The Bible says he looked and he turned away, walked away from Jesus, and he was what? Sorrowful or sad. And then you know what Jesus did? Peter, James, John, hurry. Go get him and bring him back. Let's really talk to him. No, he walked away from God. Jesus loved him as he walked away. Jesus wanted him as he walked away. Jesus was going to the cross for him as just as he went to the cross for you and me. And people today, they hear about Jesus and they just walk away. You know, Jesus said, if a person will just open that door, I'll come in. And then he said in verse 21 to this apostate church, look what he says. It's unbelievable, the grace that he extends to them. He says, to him who overcomes, if you'll open that door, let me in. To him who overcomes, and we're all overcomers, meaning true Christians, right? 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. Okay, we're all overcomers if you're truly born again. He says, but him who overcomes, and they weren't saved yet. He says, I will grant you to sit with me on my throne. Can you believe that? As I also overcame and sat down on my Father's throne. What is he saying? He's saying, when I come back to this earth at the second coming, and I set up the millennial, not kingdom, you know what I'm saying? And rule on this earth for 1,000 years, you can rule with me. And then Jesus says something. He closes this last letter and he says, he who has an ear. You don't have to have two ears. You just have to have an ear. One will work, okay? He who has an ear, let him what? Hear what the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit of truth, what the Spirit says to the churches, plural. That's very important now. Because the word church here, that's the last mention of the word church in the book of Revelation until we get to Revelation 22, 16. So he says, whoever has an ear to hear, let him hear. That is addressed to every church, every person in every generation. Remember, there are only two churches left on planet Earth, okay? There is the Church of Philadelphia, the faithful church. Not one word of rebuke. They're holding tight to the Word of God. They're mission-minded. They're going into all the world. They're winning souls to Christ. But the apostate church, they're holding tight to nothing because Jesus is excluded from that church. He's not in it. They're the apostate church. They're a fake church. You know, G. Morgan Campbell said this, lukewarmness is the worst form of blasphemy. You know, when Paul the apostle was in prison and he knew that he was going to die, he knew his time had come. He penned his last letter to the son of his true faith, and that would be Timothy. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, Paul writes to Timothy and he says this, I charge you before God, or I command you before God. I command you before the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. And he says this, oh, Timothy, preach the word. Preach the word of God. He says, oh, be ready in season and out season, meaning be ready to preach every day of your life. He says, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. And listen to the reason. For the time, Timothy, for the time will come when they, people in the church, when they will not endure, tolerate sound doctrine. They won't tolerate it. Sound doctrine means healthy teaching. You cannot be a healthy Christian and learn from a watered-down, anemic pastor. Do you understand me? I say that in love. It can't work. You have to have healthy teaching to be a healthy Christian. That's why we teach the entire Bible here. So they will not endure healthy doctrine, but according to their own desires, what they want. It's all about me. It says they have itching ears. They're going to heap up for themselves teachers, and they'll turn their ears away from truth, meaning God's truth, and they'll be turned aside to fables and fairy tales and things that are not even true. Listen, lukewarm, what a horrible word. Jesus said in Luke 6:46, he said this, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you do not do the things that I ask you to do?" Jesus' great Sermon on the Mount, chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall inherit or enter the kingdom of God." Think about that. Well, I thought, Lord, you're my Lord. No, no, he said, no, no, not everyone who said will enter the kingdom of God. He says, many will say to me in that day, "Oh, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, do many wonderful works in your name?" And Jesus said to them, "Depart from me. I never knew you. I don't know who you are. I never had an intimate relationship with you. You're not born again. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Listen to me now. Jesus didn't condemn those in those verses. He didn't condemn them for preaching the word of God, doing many wonderful works for God, or casting out. He didn't condemn them at any of those things. He said, "You didn't live for me." Level one, I'm going to tell you something. You can experience, you can go into a church service, you can go to a home fellowship, share group, whatever, and you know what? An unbeliever can come in and they can experience the power of God there. Did you know that? And they can experience the presence of God. They can do all of that, but never have the person of Jesus living in their heart. You have to be born again. That's why Jesus, if you read the Sermon on the Mount, as he continued, what did he say? He says, "Therefore I say unto you, whoever hears," here's what the Spirit of God is saying, "whoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house," meaning his home, his life, "on the rock. And the storms of life came, the winds, the floods, all of that came and beat against that house, but that house didn't fall." Why? It was founded on the rock. He says, "But he who hears these sayings of mine," Jesus said, "and does not do them, I will liken him to a foolish man who built his house, his life, on the sand. And the same storms of life came through, and great was that fall." Loved one, listen. There's only one way, and that's Jesus. He is God. He is our Lord. He's our Savior, and he's coming for us. Amen. We serve him. He owns us. He bought and paid for us with his own blood. Amen. Amen. Listen. Listen. Amen. But listen, there's a famous painting. We all know that painting. I don't know, what is his name? Holman, Billy Boy, something. I don't know. No. Holman. It's called Christ, the Light of the World. He painted it in 1850 or something like that. It hangs in a museum now. Or no, I think it's a school. It's beautiful. It's a picture of Jesus, and he's standing outside of a home. And there's a beautiful door, but there's like all ugly shrubs and everything growing around. And he is knocking on the door. Well, when this guy painted that years ago back then in the 1800s, one of his buddies came up to him and said, "That's the strangest painting, you know." And he says, what's strange about it? He says, "Well, look at the door you painted. And Jesus is knocking on the door. He's wanting to go into the house." And, "I know." "Well, there's no door handle on the door. How's he going to get in?" And the artist turned and looked at him and said, "Oh, the door handle, the way you open it, is from the inside. There's no door handle on the outside." See, when Jesus knocks on your heart, you don't know the Lord. If you don't know the Lord, listen to me now. When he knocks on your heart, that's his voice. You feel it. You know it. "If anyone hears my voice," he said, anyone, and you open the door as he's knocking, Jesus said, I'm coming in. And he said, "And when I come in, you're going to be changed, because I'm no longer excluded from your life. You let the King of Kings, the Savior of the world, the one who paid your sin penalty, your sin debt, your shame, your guilt, you let me in. Now you're mine." Maybe you're that anyone. All you have to do is hear him knock and open the door.
Thank you for listening today. And please tune in on Monday when Pastor Bill's study of Revelation will continue. We pray that you have a safe and restful weekend. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. So long, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.